don't recommend estradiol on the face and what to use instead. I'm Dr. Valerie Davidson from Progress Your Health.
And I'm Dr. Robert Mackey from Progress Your Health. So this is a comment. We're going to today we had a video we did before about estriol and wrinkle cream. Obviously, very popular topic, right? Anything we can do to reduce wrinkles. This is a comment that someone posted on our that video. So the title you said, why you don't recommend using estradiol on the face. So what's the problem with using estradiol?
Well, with this question, actually, it was a comment. She was commenting on a video that we had done previously called, I wrote it down, estriol versus estradiol on the face. And there was actually quite a few comments on that actual video. So that's why we wanted to kind of maybe circle back around to that, because a lot of people were a little bit confused and wondering about that. And instead of using estradiol, which we talked about in that video, we use estriol, so E3. So there's three different estrogens, estrone E1, estradiol, which is the strongest form of estrogen, E2. And then there's estriol E3, which that is, you don't want to call it like the weakest, but I guess you could call it the most gentle. So that's one that we recommend to use on the face instead. So maybe you want me to read the comment?
Yeah, it's really short.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great comment. I mean, she said, thank you. Absolutely true. The exact thing happened to me with estradiol cream. It really messed up my hormones. So this got me to thinking, because the video that we did before, estriol versus estradiol for your face, we were talking more about wrinkles, which we'll get into. But I don't know if we really touched on the fact that estradiol, if you're putting that anywhere on your body, it's going into your bloodstream. So that estradiol can really permeate and go become systemic, which then that can influence your own hormones or throw off your own HRT or cause spotting or cause mood issues. So you can have that effect. And I'm not really sure if we touched on that in that video that we did.
Yeah, I don't think we went back and listened to the video. I mean, you know, these kinds of things, especially the face cream stuff, it comes up all the time. And, you know, for someone that does hormone replacement for as long as we have, estriol is sort of like the little secret weapon, right? Because you can use it for so many different things that it is still an FDA-approved ingredient, estriol is, but there's no commercially available products for estriol. So by default, if you're getting it from a big box pharmacy, it always defaults to estradiol of some sort, where the estriol has to come from a compounding pharmacy. And I think that's where sometimes, you know, people get a little confused, or doctors are not really sure what to prescribe, or they always go the FDA approved route. And this is one of those examples. If you're using it both for the face or the vaginal tissue, you could, you know, in theory, you could sort of run into some problems.
You mean estradiol?
Using estradiol,
yeah,
yes.
Because in this country, you're right, estriol isn't available, you know, that easily. I think in other countries, because we have people from all over the world that watch our podcast, which is so exciting. But other people have written in saying that they can get estriol in different countries. So I know in this country, it's a little bit more difficult. But you're right, estriol is great to use on the face. And it's great to use on the vaginal tissues for vaginal atrophy, for dryness, even for to keep that vaginal vault microbiome really nicely balanced, so that you don't get, you know, you're not as prone to urinary tract infections. Estriol vaginally can also help the urethra, which is that tube from your bladder to the outside world, stay nice and tight. So it can actually help with a little bit of stress incontinence, so urinary stress incontinence. So that's where, like you said, estriol is I called it the weakest or the most gentle of estrogens, but it's so powerful in so many different ways that you can use it. But I know that we also had a lot of comments on YouTube saying, you know, this sounds great, but it's so difficult to be able to get a doctor to prescribe it for us. I mean, I had several comments on our YouTube channel that I looked at where they're saying, this sounds awesome, but how are we going to be able to prescribe it, or it's pricey, or where are we going to get it? So I know that that can be a little bit difficult. Hopefully in the coming years, that'll be a little bit more accessible easier.
Yeah, the barriers there will be a little bit easier for women to access, because it is what is it now? The GSU, genital urinary symptoms of menopause. Mm-hmm. That idea or concept, now granted, that's not new, right? That's been, that women have been dealing with those issues for a very long time. This is the perfect use case for using estriol. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, at the same time, if you're using it for the GSU or GSMU or whatever it is, and might as well use it at the same time on your face at the same time. I mean, that's that's like a dual benefit. You're using the relatively the same cream or the same ingredient in both places.
You mean the estriol, not the estradiol.
Because
even the estradiol, I don't recommend that on the vaginal tissues if you have a uterus, because it's just so close in proximity to that uterine lining. It can cause thickening. It can cause spotting. So I don't even like estradiol on the vaginal tissues, and I know you don't either. And then on the face. So like this comment, I said, we didn't really touch on it too much, but it is, you put estradiol, it can go right into that bloodstream and affect whatever hormone levels you might be producing on your own. So say you're in perimenopause or even not anywhere near menopause and you're making your own hormones, putting estradiol on your face is going to go inside your bloodstream, and that's going to affect, your own hormones that you're producing. It, also, if you're on HRT, which I'm super specific when I have my patients on HRT, I want to know exactly what dose they are on, that they're applying it, every day or how we're doing it, as opposed to putting estradiol on the face and then it messes up your own HRT program.
Yeah. Now, let's say you're using it, let's say a woman's using it just hypothetically in three different locations.
Estradiol
or just HRT in general. Okay. We'll go back and reclassify in a second. So you're using hormone on your face, you're using hormone on the vaginal tissue, and you're using hormone systemically. Okay. So technically, as the practitioner, you'd want to add up all those different milligrams of estradiol or of estrogen. I didn't specify, because it all three of those. Now, typically, when we use over the years, when we use estriol, I'm sort of digressing here a minute. When we use estriol, the general rule of thumb is what you use locally does not necessarily have a systemic response if you're using estriol. From what you're saying, though, that the estradiol sort of becomes a systemic response. So now if you're using it in three places, you got to add all those milligrams up, because now it could push a woman's estrogen threshold a little bit too much. And now she could have some spotting or bleeding as a result. Is that sort of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Cause estradiol does go into the bloodstream. So you're right. If you're doing even a biased or an estradiol patch, but then you're also using estradiol cream on your face and estradiol cream down south on the vaginal tissues, that's a lot of estrogen that it could actually add up to be. So you want to get an idea what those milligrams are, because not only just for spotting, uterine lining causing thickening, causing some spotting, it could also even cause, breast tissue a little density, because all those estrogen sensitive tissues are sensitive to estradiol. So that could have an effect on there. So you're right, adding that all up and even just having estrogen dominant symptoms. We love estrogen. Estrogen's awesome, but too much of a good thing can be a little bit of a runaway train, that can cause a little, sugar cravings. There was in our community, we were talking with a lovely gal about histamine reactions and estradiol, how when you go too high with estrogen, that can cause a little bit of a histamine reaction. So there's that, that issue there. And also just even being moody, like I said, too much estrogen can cause a little bit of moodiness.
Or too little.
Yeah, or too little. I know. You got to get it just right. So that was one thing that I wanted to really touch on this podcast is, if you're putting estradiol on your face, that's going to go systemic, where the estriol, because it's so much more gentle, I still add it up. If someone's still using estriol E3 on the vaginal tissues in the face, so many days per week, or, I still kind of take that into consideration when I'm formulating an HRT program for them.
Yeah, sure. Now one of the other comments on the same video was about the risk of melasma. So you and I were talking about that before we started recording, and we sort of had a little bit of a disagreement about that. So, I mean, not a disagreement, but what are your thoughts about estradiol versus estriol and the potential for melasma?
I've never seen estriol cause hyperpigmentation or melasma exacerbated when applying estriol on the face. Yeah. I've never seen that in over 20 years. But estradiol, because estradiol is so much stronger than estriol, and estradiol does increase up what they call the melanocytes expression, which melanocytes causes, creates melanin, which causes pigmentation. So I do feel like estradiol, if you were to put that on the face, that, and you were maybe out in the sun a lot or was maybe not wearing sunscreen, which is another thing that you and I disagree about wearing sunscreen.
Look at my red face. I get plenty of sun.
See who wears sunscreen.
Yeah. I got like this red tomato face because I spend so much time in the sun.
No. You look great. You look really good.
Well, that's always been my, you know, I don't tan that well. I just get really red. So I've always sort of been that way. But yeah, I'm not really a fan of sunscreen, as you can tell. At least I don't have, at least my dad used to say, you know, if you spend a lot of time in the sun, you start to look like a backhand of a leather glove, you know, because of all the wrinkles. At least I don't have too many wrinkles yet.
No, you look fantastic. No.
Yeah. Used to make fun of people because, you know, you get a little, especially like the guys that were like blue collar working outside in the elements, and your face gets kind of weather beaten from all the sun. You know, he used to sort of tease them.
I feel like sun can be a little bit assaultive. We need our vitamin D, right? But I feel like, so that's what I was saying with estradiol on your face, and you were getting a lot of, you know, UV and sun and maybe not wearing sunscreen. I could see where it would, for in my opinion, I've never seen it necessarily because I tell my patients don't put estradiol on your face.
Yeah, that's just one of the rules that we've always had. I mean, it's for you, it seems sort of obvious. Like, why take the chance when there's sort of like a better option, right? And we feel, at least in that situation, both up top and down below, that the estriol is a better solution. So why not just go with that? But that idea too, that what you use locally does not go systemically. What you use systemically doesn't affect things locally. So for example, if you're using a biased or even the patch or rhythmic dosing, those are like some of the different options, you may still have some vaginal issues where you still have to apply some estriol vaginally because what you're using systemically might not be enough to solve the localized issue. What you're using systemically might not have an effect on the face that you want, so you got to use something locally. But like you said, or I asked you earlier, if you're using all three of those locations and you're using estradiol across the board, now you're pushing that estrogen amount just for the particular woman. It might just, for not every woman, but the right woman, it might just push her a little bit too far. And now she's having some spotting or bleeding. And now the three different doses she's using would have to be adjusted somehow.
Yeah. And I think that's why hormone replacement is so individualized. Because some women, you know, their blood levels are looking great on that estradiol. Let's say they're doing an estradiol patch, but they might have a little urinary incontinence. You know, some people do, some people don't. Yeah. So doing a little estriol, you know, locally to those vaginal tissues can help with that. Or even, you know, I always kind of consider like the hormones, your poor little vaginal cells are like at the end of the buffet line. By the time the little vaginal cells get up to the buffet, there's no estradiol, there's no estrogen for them. So they don't, their plates are empty. So that's why I say
the poor vaginal tissue.
Because we want it systemically because it does help. And then you apply a little estriol vaginally. And then that, you know, that can help with any kind of like the lubrication, the cell, you know, the tissue resilience. So same goes for the face too, you know. Women, you know, I've always felt like estriol, you know, putting it on the face is really good for helping, you know, that collagen development and helping with fine lines and wrinkles. So you're right. I think it's more about being able to take that individual and see what their needs are. Because there's some women that are taking their biased or they're on their estradiol and they have no vaginal issues, right. No vaginal atrophy. And that's great for them. And then there's other women that do. So it really takes everybody into consideration.
Yeah, well, we've seen sort of a gamut over the years too. Like some women don't have any, like you just said, don't have any vaginal symptoms, and other women have terrible, I mean, some really severe situations. There's not, as we always say, there's not really one approach for every woman. You have to sort of take it. I was doing a little bit of research this morning looking at, actually some research studies and just kind of getting diving into the literature. And there is some talk about individualization when it comes to hormone replacement. A new term, I don't know if it's 2025, MHT,
menopause hormone therapy.
Yeah, menopause hormone therapy. So MHT versus HRT. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if there's, you know, if they're trying to use a new term or if it was just just something that I just noticed that I've never seen before.
Yeah, no, yeah. That'll be interesting kind of following through with all that over the next few years in terms of, diagnosis or more doctors being able to treat women for, sure. For menopause and perimenopause, because that's a lot of us ladies.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, how many? I think I heard a clip the other day, someone mentioned like 100 million women or something. Like, I don't know if that's even possible, but, you know, maybe it's not that many, but maybe it is. I'd have to look up some. I know that the, you know, there's like a certain number per day, or like there's so many new cases per year, which is like in the tens of millions.
Wow.
You know, so it's a big deal. And I noticed on one of those comments too, like, you know, how do you get into the, you know, you have a, you can't get any estriol, you can't get into the doctor, you got a really long wait, your doctor might not want to prescribe it because it's not quote unquote FDA approved, you know, so there are still, even in 2025, with all the awareness, there's still some, you know, some barrier to entry for women to, you know, to be able to access the things that they want to be able to access. You know, and honestly, like I said, for us anyways, estriol has always just been like the obvious choice, but from what it sounds like, it may not be as easy for women to get access to that as it seems for you and I.
And I really appreciate the YouTube comments. I was going through them and, you know, because we've been working with patients for 20 years and okay, this and this, but I didn't realize how many people had written that they really don't have access to estriol.
Sure.
Or like you said, there was a couple of comments of having to wait for months to see the doctor or not being able to get this prescribed, or it was costly, which, you know, things cost money.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's understandable when you're doing your budgeting. So it was really eye-opening for me to see these comments, and I certainly appreciate them because I maybe sometimes I see it differently because I'm, you know, I don't know, in the, what is the forest and the trees, or I'm just seeing my own, you know, my patient care practice, but having this, you know, this outreach to, you know, for our podcast and for the people watching the YouTube channel, I really, really appreciate their comments.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, we're still sort of new at this content creation stuff, but it's been very fun. It's been interesting to interact. I will say we haven't gotten too many, you know, mean comments yet, you know, which is nice. Everyone says if you spend a lot of time online, don't read the comments, just because.
Oh, I was reading the comments.
Yeah, people can be a little bit, you know, they can be a little bit harsh sometimes, but yeah.
But there's great comments like this one,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like I realized we didn't really touch into, yeah, sure, we want to talk about wrinkles on the face, but we didn't touch into how that estradiol could really truly influence your own hormone level systemically, and that can create some problems. So, yeah.
And if it's not going to create a problem for every woman, let's be clear about that. Like,
absolutely.
There's plenty of women that could actually do estradiol both vaginally and on their face and be just perfectly fine. Okay. But the ones that we always hear about are the ones that end up coming to us are the ones that have tried those things and it doesn't work for them. So that's where the customization or the little bit more individualization, you know, needs to be taken into consideration because, you know, there's just not as we keep saying, there's just not really a one size fits all to any of it. And there's always exceptions to the rule. So maybe the majority, maybe it's an 80-20 split. 80% of women would be probably fine depending on what their dosing is. There's that 20%, maybe some of the outliers that would be a little bit more sensitive. And now you have to come up with another option. Now we haven't seen a lot of that just because our default always for the face and the vagina is always use estriol. So we sort of bypass a lot of those problems. We don't ever really have to deal with them in the first place. So, but I know the face and the wrinkle cream, just that idea in general. I mean, you go on YouTube and there's lots of videos about estriol and face cream, and wrinkles, and rightly so. I mean, I haven't seen any long-term studies. I'm sure there's some out there. I know there's some dermatological ones that have done short use cases for it. But I wonder if it's even possible to do a longer term study about, estriol and, you know, using it for wrinkles. I'm not sure if anyone even attempt to do that necessarily, because how would you do that over a long period of time? You know, there'd be a lot of factors there, but
maybe some metadata or just some longevity
tests, a meta-analysis or something.
Exactly. So we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? Our recommendation always is, or at least what we use with in our experience and with our patients, we always just use estriol. You know, it's a safer option. Do you have any final things to say about estriol, about estradiol, anything like that?
Nope, I wrote a couple of notes, and I think we talked about all the touching points.
Okay. So if you have any comments or questions, you can write them down below. If you're on YouTube, you can always go, if you want to ask anonymously, you can always go to our website, progressyourhealth.com. There's an Ask the Doctor tab there. Enter your name and email. We do get a lot of them. We try to kind of cherry pick some of the questions just in general, but please ask your question. We'll get to it as quickly as we can. Until next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Valerie.
Take care. Bye-bye.